Como mamá, siempre quiero lo mejor para mi familia. Por eso quiero lo mejor en mi cocina. Y eso significa solo huevos Eggland's Best. No importa cómo los cocines, siempre saben frescos y deliciosos. Y tienen más vitaminas D y E y el doble de omega 3 que los huevos regulares. Entonces, ¿por qué conformarte con menos cuando puedes tener lo mejor? Eggland's Best. Mejor sabor, mejor nutrición, mejores huevos.
141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic's manager hunt continues as Pascal Janssen's name enters the frame. Mark Hatley says Rangers need two strikers ahead of the new season, and we find out the groups for the Viaplay Cup next season. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Mark Wilson.
Well, the season has just concluded Saturday past, and the draw has already been made for the Viaplay Cup, and teams will be taking interest. Players will be reporting back to pre-season training soon in preparation. But the big story of the week is still surrounding Celtic and who they have their eye on for the manager's job. Other names being added to it. It seems like every passing hour another name gets connected with this job, but we've been here before. We've mentioned all the names before 2 years ago, and it was one plucked from obscurity that came in and did the job and transformed the club into what it's became now. So still plenty of mileage left in this one, Andrew.
Yeah, Celtic has of course been the big story over the last couple of weeks. Rangers looking to do transfer business as well. We didn't really get the chance to touch on that Hearts appointment yesterday. We can have a look and see what that means as well. Queen's Park will be playing their football at Hampden next season as well, and of course fans of every club will be interested in the Viaplay Cup group stage draw. I mean, the most recent season has just finished. Do you think some of the players that are maybe away on holiday at the moment are thinking, oh, come on, you don't need to be talking about fixtures for next season already?
Oh, 100%. Some will be on the beach. Some will be just making their way up the road from the beach club as we speak just now after having a merry day out. And news breaks that the fixtures are already out. Now, I'm kind of split on the Viaplay Cup and what this has became, because I always enjoyed as a player getting into pre-season and knowing you had really 4 weeks of hard work and graft and pre-season friendlies to get up to speed before you played any competitive football. But there was a part of me that pre-season did drag on, and then I thought, you know, you really can't wait for competitive action. And it's kind of went the opposite way. You've got competitive action. Some managers use this as a pre-season games to get players up to fitness. And I think Lee Johnson actually said last year that he mistakenly, you know, underplayed the Viaplay Cup by trying a few things out. And of course, it didn't work out for him because the latter stages seemed so far away at the start of season. But when you get there, there's money to be earned. So interesting how quickly the season comes around again, and before we know it, we'll be previewing the games coming up in the 15th of July.
The one thing we need to remember is don't base your season predictions on what happens in the Viaplay Cup group stages, because every single season we do it, and every single season the teams that did not so well end up having a decent season and vice versa. So I'm learning my lesson this time. It's not
St Mirren was the one that, I backed St Mirren, I think, for the drop on their Viaplay Cup form, and that came back to bite me.
Well, if you've got thoughts on any of these topics, we'd love it if you would join us. 0141 951 1025. Or maybe there's something else you want to talk about. Maybe you've got something on your mind that I haven't touched on yet. You can set the agenda. 0141 951 1025. Or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. What has, of course, been dominating the headlines over the past couple of weeks, especially the last few days, is Ange Postecoglou's exit from Celtic. Every single day, there seems to be new names in the frame. Mark, we've heard the ones before, the likes of Brendan Rodgers, people still talking about him. I think, you know, last I looked, he was still the bookies' favourite. You've got Enzo Maresca, Kjetil Knutsen. I think the one that was coming out today was Pascal Janssen, who's the AZ Alkmaar manager. He got them to the semi-finals of the Europa Conference League, fourth in Eredivisie. There's chat as well that with Ajax and PSV looking for managers as well, that he's on their shortlist. So it's always interesting to see what names are being thrown up.
Well, it certainly is, and they're going to continue, because people are going to link managers who have shown that they've had obviously a good season, some sort of success. Now, I know AZ Alkmaar finished well behind Feyenoord, 15 points, I think, in fourth place or something like that, fifth place. So never in contention for the league, but a European run put together quite nicely. And the attractive style of play, if there's young progressive managers out there with an attractive style of play, it's always going to be on the radar of Celtic when they're looking for a manager. So that's why these managers constantly get linked. But you're right, maybe in his home country that he'll look at things closer to home rather than come here. But it's a bit of a conundrum just now. You know, no one knows what the Celtic hierarchy are thinking. You know, you would like to think certainly that they've made inquiries and started conversations with other managers that we're just not privy to. Who those are, we don't know. Brendan Rodgers' name isn't going away at the minute. I mean, he's very short odds, and at one stage betting got suspended on him. That doesn't entirely tell us anything, but it goes to show you that there is a lot of interest surrounding that one, and it seems to tick a lot of boxes and make sense. But as I say, this may rumble on. But the one thing, Celtic, like, they can't take 6 weeks over this. That is the thing. They have to get business done in the coming 2 or 3 weeks, because the players will be reporting back to pre-season soon.
You mentioned that attractive style of play because of what the Celtic fans have seen from Ange Postecoglou's side over the last couple of seasons, because of the way the squad is built, because of the way Ange Postecoglou wanted to play. Do you think that is now just a demand from the Celtic supporters that whoever comes in needs to play a style of football that is attractive, that is exciting, that is on the front foot, and they won't want anything else other than that?
Yeah, of course. Look, a good while ago when I was playing, you know, winning was what mattered. If you could match that with an attractive style, then great. It's kind of moved on since then. Football fans, rightly so, pay their money to be entertained, to like the product on the pitch. And even though Celtic were winning throughout the years, some of their fans grumbled that the style was, Brendan Rodgers last year, too pedestrian, too much possession based. Neil Lennon, fans moaned that it just wasn't enjoyable to watch, even though they were winning. But Ange Postecoglou married them both together, winning with an attacking style of football that had flair. It had everything, you know. It had goal scorers in midfield, it had wingers that would take people on and get people out of their seats, and it had a striker that would score 30 plus a season. He married everything together. To go away from that, it's, you know, it would leave a bit of a sour taste in the Celtic fans' mouth. So of course they'll look for something similar, but where do you find something similar? That's a hard thing. Everybody who has a vacant position is looking for a similar manager that Ange Postecoglou was.
And while Celtic are dominating the headlines with their manager hunt, you've then got Rangers who sort of going about their business, maybe quite quietly, but they have signed three players already. The latest is Jack Butland. And now Rangers fans are just waiting to see who's next through the door. We've seen a lot of talk about a striker. Is that where Rangers need to be looking? Is that where Michael Beale needs to be looking now?
Certainly is, because they've lost their main man, Morelos, who, great servant for the club over the years in terms of goal scoring and what he brought. Certainly a position that probably Michael Beale is concentrated on, but strikers are the hardest position to fill. But he certainly needs one, if not more than one. If he can get Roof back, then fine, but he needs an out-and-out number nine.
Well, let's hear from you on the phones. 0141 951 1025. Andy is a Rangers fan in Finiston. Andy, three signings secured already this summer. How do you feel about the business that Michael Beale has already done?
Hi, guys. How you doing? I was just saying the producer. I think we, you know, I don't really know too much about the Down Sterling. You know, we need to trust like Michael Beale. And if the two of them come out in like what Dodwell and Raskin, I'll be more than happy, you know. And I do agree with what the boys were saying there, but I think we need two strikers, because I don't know what's happening with Roof and Kovac. Are they going to still be here? You know, next season, there's Roof, you know, he's that injury prone. He's made a glass. That's my worry about Roof. He's a good striker. But then you look at the other side of the game, we've still got Lawrence and Hadji, and we have a full pre-season behind him. I mean, they're class act, so we're looking good.
Yeah, I mean, Andy mentions there about needing two strikers. You look at the options Rangers have available at the moment. Alfredo Morelos is obviously left. Kamar Roof's injury record is not good whatsoever. When he plays, he tends to have a good goal scoring record, but Rangers just haven't had him playing consistently for a good while. Antonio Colak, there was talk, I remember a couple of months ago, that he maybe wasn't in Michael Beale's plans, but I think he has said since that, you know, he is a player that he feels he can get something out of. He certainly scored goals last season when he played Antonio Colak. With Michael Beale playing two strikers quite a lot of the time, do you feel that there's numbers needed in that area?
Yeah, without doubt there's numbers needed. Like we were saying there, if Morelos goes, it leaves a huge void that needs to be filled. And Roof, like, you cannot depend on Roof in terms of fitness. You can depend on him when he plays, and he will get you goals because he's a terrific player. But it's just his fitness is a real concern, and it's not Kemar Roof's fault. It's just one of these things. So that's a big decision for Michael Beale, whether he backs Roof to be fit enough to only bring in one striker in. Colak, I think Colak's got a future at Rangers. I mean, he turned into a bit of a bit part player, but his goals return was still impressive for his first season. And then you've got the enigma that is Sakala as well. Now, Sakala, people say, or people did say off season, he cannot play as a striker. He's a wide man. However, when he played striker, he still returned goals, and he is erratic. You don't know what you're getting from him, but he will give you everything. So he is still an option also, but I still think they need to replace Morelos, and like I say, maybe another, because Roof you can't depend on.
Andy, what type of strikers do you think Michael Beale needs to bring in? Do you have any names in mind? Has there been any names that are linked that you like the look of?
There's not really any names that I can know of. I was thinking maybe some Scottish boy, maybe, you know, I said it a couple of weeks ago with the boy for Hibs and all that, you know, but we need somebody like Morelos who can, you know, he's strong. He was strong when he was on his game. He was strong. He was a nightmare for defenders. Somebody like a big out and out forward who can hold his own weight. You know what I mean? That's the kind of guy I'm really looking for.
I mean, Andy mentions there, you know, potentially looking across Scotland, the likes of Kevin Nisbet, Lawrence Shankland, two Scottish strikers, both away with the Scotland squad at the moment. Are those players Rangers should be looking at? Do you think they will look at, Mark, or would you expect that they would be shopping in other markets?
Well, I don't think you should overlook talent here on your doorstep, particularly when they've got good goal scoring records and they're at a good age. But I believe it's Nisbet now looking Millwall,
yeah,
south of the border.
Yeah, uh-huh. Shankland,
I honestly don't believe you'd get Shankland, or it would take a lot of money to get Shankland. I think he's pivotal in what Hearts have achieved and what they're looking to achieve next season. So it would take a real pull to get him. But I believe Shankland would do a job. You cannot doubt Shankland's record, what he brings to the team. He's now developed this kind of number 10 role as well, that Andy's saying about Morelos. Now, he's not Morelos and kind of stalking, holds people off, but he can drop deep and link people up. If you're playing with two strikers, obviously you're wanting one to do that and one to play off the shoulder. But I just think it would take too much money. I think Michael Beale will have his eye down south. It's a market he knows well. He always says it, young players that he's worked with down there, he'll probably have an idea or someone down there.
Andy, you've mentioned strikers. What other areas do you feel are a priority going forward for Michael Beale?
Well, my midfield looks good, you know what I mean? As I said, we've got that, man. A lot of midfielders and don't know, but I heard just reading that Bonabanis, he's looking to sign. You know, we get Yilmaz there, we've got Barisic, we've got cover for Tav. So, to be honest with you, just a striker, and the strikers would be my main concern. And the rest of the pitch would look quite strong.
Is Ryan Kent's position one that needs to be filled? And because you look at the role he's played over the last few seasons, he has been a big player for Rangers at times, maybe hasn't delivered the numbers that some Rangers fans would have wanted to, but he was certainly always a constant in the Rangers side. He always started when he was fit. Is that an area that Michael Beale needs to look at filling, whether it is that left wing spot or just out in the wide areas as well?
Depends the way he wants to play, Andrew. I mean, we've heard that Michael Beale likes to play, if he does go a 4-3-3, is two in behind the striker, pretty narrow, and he tried to use Kent in there, getting closer to the striker. So if he wants to play that way, then of course you don't have to get an out and out winger. Of course, if you're going to play 4-3-3, much like Van Bronckhorst tried, and put the guys as wide as the touchline, then you would have to look at a winger. But Kent, you're going to miss his creativity, even though he wasn't great in his final season. Throughout the years, he created things for others, and you're going to miss that. Whether Hadji comes back and can recreate some of that. I don't know, because he's been out a long time injured, but he is a good player. Time will tell on that one. But Lawrence, of course, maybe fill a role like that. So I don't think Kent's position is as pressing to fill is what Morelos' position is.
Well, thank you to Andy. Let's stick with the phones. Jimmy is a Rangers fan in Cardonald. Jimmy, we're talking Rangers, we're talking strikers. Have you got any suggestions of who you'd like to see Michael Beale bring in?
Oh, panel, good evening. I was wondering why nobody's ever mentioned Kevin Van Veen. It amazes me what a Donkey Ferguson or a Mark Hale a few years ago. You know, he's buying in goals left, right and centre. I don't hear anybody mention him at all. He knows he came inside too, so I was wondering what the panel thought of that.
I said it's not a bad shout. When you look at his record, that it's been extraordinary what he's done for Motherwell. You know, single-handedly almost took them from that relegation battle and, you know, pulled them up the league with his goals and performances. Technically, very good, scores a variety of goals, set piece taker as well. But I suppose it boils down to what Michael Beale sees for the future, how he wants to take this Rangers team forward. Does he want a quick fix that will come in and replace Morelos for a year and can play a bit part, or does he want something with a bit of longevity about it that he can develop into, you know, something special? If it's the latter, then I don't think he would look at Van Veen. If he's wanting an instant impact and somebody to fill, then listen, Van Veen will do a job for you. Surrounded by better players, no disrespect to Motherwell players, he would score goals.
Is that what does it for you, Jimmy? The fact that he's already proven he can score goals in the Scottish Premiership, you think he'd hit the ground running at Rangers?
I think he did fantastic for Rangers. He seems to know he knows the Scottish League inside out. You know, and I think he's a perfect fit. As I say, he's got the height, he's got the ball. And, you know, as I say, it reminds me of Haley years ago. You know, Mark Haley, the glory days of Ibrox. And Donkey Ferguson, obviously, even through Kerry on at Ross County with him. But I think he's a perfect fit for Rangers. He's got the height, the ball. He can score with his foot, score with his head. He knows the Scottish League inside out. And we'll probably get him for pennies as well. So I think it'd be a great signing. You know, I think we're getting to lose, definitely.
You're going to get him for pennies, though. Motherwell might argue that just because Stuart Kettlewell, I mean, what was the quote that he said? He didn't think any club in Scotland could afford to sign Kevin Van Veen. I think if Celtic or Rangers had tested the resolve of Motherwell with, you know, a 31-year-old with a year left in his contract,
Stuart Kettlewell would be driving him over, Andrew. He would be driving over with any decent bid. But again, this boils down to what Motherwell's valuation is on Kevin Van Veen. And look, if it's a snip for a club like Rangers, then maybe it is worth a gamble. Looking at his past record, you know, like, he's not going to chase down fullbacks for you. He's not going to be a presser from the front, much like Kyogo is for Celtic. But he's good with the ball on his feet and he can score goals. And Rangers are going to need someone to shoulder some of that burden throughout the season. But I just couldn't see him being the main striker. He would be a backup role, I believe, if he went to the club.
I don't know if you saw the video that Motherwell posted on Twitter a couple of days ago. And normally at the end of the season, you know, a club's Twitter account will post up a video of, you know, their strikers, all their goals this season. They had a complete video that was just of Ken Van Veen's skills and touches, him plucking the ball out the air and first touches. And, you know, Jimmy's talking about him in the sort of mould of, you know, Duncan Ferguson and Mark Catley, but he's maybe got a bit more guile than those guys in terms of he's maybe not as physical as those guys. Yes, he's got a bigger frame, but you look at the way he can control the ball and sort of nick past players. He's, you know, a bit of a strange player in that way, because he maybe doesn't look like the type of player that does what he does.
Yeah, it looks a bit lackadaisical sometimes, a bit like he can't be bothered, and then all of a sudden a ball over the top and he'll pluck it out the air and he'll score a terrific goal. So yeah, technically I think he's very, very good. And I think whichever club he goes to after Motherwell, I think he will become a fan's favourite, much like he has at Fir Park. He's just got that personality about him. But again, it's about what he would want. Of course, if he moved to Rangers, he would get financially, you know, compensated for that. It'd be a good contract. But is Van Veen the type that would like to sit on the bench and play second fiddle most weeks? Don't know if he is. I think he likes to be the main man, so that might be a choice for him that is pretty tough.
We're not saying that Kevin Van Veen's as good as Mark Haley, by the way, for anyone that's about to tweet us. But thank you to Jimmy. If you've got any thoughts on that or thoughts on anything else, Celtic's hunt for a manager, maybe you're a Hearts fan that's interested in what's going on with Stephen Naismith and his new role that he's taken up, you can give us a call on 0141 951 1025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and we want you to join us as well. 0141 951 1025, or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. Did you watch the Europa Conference League final last night, Mark?
I watched a bit of it, yeah. And then I seen the boy getting pelted with a cup, and I thought, oh, this is getting too violent for me. But got to say, congratulations to David Moyes, 7th Scottish manager, yep, to win a European trophy. I mean, we're doing not too bad, are we, for managers? Who was the last English manager to win a European trophy?
Oh, that's a good question, actually. Sir Alex Ferguson was 2008. Of course, he was the last Scottish, but the last English one, it's a good one.
Yeah, I was delighted for David Moyes because he's been through a bit of a tough time football-wise with some of the stuff that came after Manchester United, and he was under fire this season from his own fans when he couldn't back up what he did, replicate what he did last season. But to take him to a European final, whatever you think of that competition, huge achievement and delighted for him.
You could see how much it meant to him. I don't know if you saw the images afterwards where he was on the touchline with his dad. He was, you know, getting the medal round his dad's neck and everything like that. It's just a great moment for the two of them.
You know what? It's what football's about. I mean, David Moyes' dad's probably followed him everywhere throughout football, and it's the pinnacle of his career, a European trophy. So to share that, wonderful pictures. What was even better than that, though, was in the dressing room when David Moyes, have you seen this, where he puts on the video dancing to the Proclaimers, and it scans the dressing room and you just see the players all on their phones, no idea what this Proclaimer song is or this old guy dancing.
It's your uncle dancing at a wedding.
It is horrendous.
It's Hugh Keevan's dancing at a wedding, isn't it?
It was horrendous, but we'll let him enjoy his moment. Yeah, well,
exactly,
deserved.
Well done to David Moyes. 0141 951 1025 if you've got any thoughts on Scottish football. John is a Celtic fan in the East End. John, it's been a pretty busy week or so for Celtic. What have you made it all?
Good evening, Andrew and Mark. I can't say that we didn't see it coming, because we did. Everybody see it coming. It's a shame that it's ended, because I've been on the show before and we've discussed how good the rapport was between Postecoglou with the fans and how it was just a great feel-good factor and stuff like that. So the fact that Ange's leaving, I don't have an issue at all with Ange leaving. Nobody knocked that back. Nobody who comes from any sort of footballing stock and what he's done in latter years and stuff like that, to get an opportunity to go to somebody like Spurs, no-brainer. What I have an issue with, though, is the Celtic board. They've seen this coming. We could all see it for weeks and weeks, but they've done nothing. They've just dragged their feet again. It's very, very similar to the same thing they did 2 years ago when it came to them appointing Ange. And
I mean, John, it was only 2 days ago that Ange Postecoglou moved to Tottenham. It's not as if, you know, were you expecting Celtic to already have announced a manager?
No, but we've known for weeks, Andrew. They've been talking about it for weeks. He's leaving it. Once it was kind of announced as such that he was doing as the, he was favourite for it. And I know also that can be wrong when it comes to it, but opportunities like that, either discussed it all week, don't come along very often. No, for managers that are in Scotland. So an opportunity came up and he took it.
But would you have expected the Celtic board to have had a manager in place 2 days after Ange Postecoglou secures his move to Tottenham? Is that not quite quick?
Are you asking me? Sorry, I know what you're saying. It's only 2 days. It's only been official for 2 days. But they would have known. They would have known the grumblings that he was potentially maybe going to be leaving, so at least start the ball rolling.
John, but the ball could well have been rolling already, Mark.
So
that's the thing.
I think you've been unfair, John, on the Celtic board, Dermot Desmond, Peter Lawwell, who are there in control of this, because how do you know, how do we know that conversations aren't so far down the line that something's already almost done? Because remember, you mentioned it was the same when Postecoglou came in. The Celtic board have got to take huge credit for how Postecoglou came in. Now, it wasn't right away. Was it about this time in June, maybe, mm-hmm. he was appointed?
Yep.
Things had rolled on the season. The season had ended disastrously. There wasn't an appointment made the day after the season finished. Talks were obviously underway for a while with Postecoglou, and they got it spot on. So I think it'll be a similar case here. If John is right in terms of everybody's seen this coming from the outside, then surely from the inside they would have had an idea it was coming, and they would have set the ball rolling. So I think unfair, because we've not heard anything or anything of substance, then it's wrong to say that, oh, they're not doing anything, they're sitting just watching everything go by. Of course they must have made contact with someone.
John, I appreciate that we may be standing here in a month's time or 2 months' time and there may not be a Celtic manager in place, and at that point people will phone up and be saying that the board should be acting quicker. But, you know, 2 days after the appointment, do you not think there's maybe a bit of time for patience now to see what happens over the next few days?
Yeah, OK, I do get that, and maybe I'm being a bit hasty as such, but what I will say, like Mark would say there, it was like 2 years to this point, 2 years ago when he was appointed. However, prior to that, there was all that unbelievable debacle over Eddie Howe. So we put all our eggs in one basket for one guy who eventually turned around and said, nah, he's all right, I'll go somewhere else. That's what I don't want them to make the same mistake with. Yes, they brought in Ange. Nobody had ever heard of him, apart from obviously Gordon Dale. But it was, when he came in, everybody was kind of stunned by this. Who is this guy? And yes, it worked. Great. Fabulous. But I just don't want, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just frustrated the fact that he's gone and we're now back to square one again. That's what it is.
It's interesting looking back on that period, Mark, because Celtic obviously had Eddie Howe as their number one target, but I remember it because I was in the studio. It was a Friday, and that was the day the news had broken that Eddie Howe was not going to be the Celtic manager. Talks had broken down. By the time I came into the studio on the Monday, Ange Postecoglou was the main candidate. It looked as if he was going to take over. So it did look as if things were still going on behind the scenes. They did have, you know, contingency plans in case the Eddie Howe deal fell through. And after, you know, 2 or 3 days, there was already another leading candidate, and Ange Postecoglou, you know, was that man. And it turned out not too badly.
Well, you're 100% correct with that, Andrew, because like John said there, I think it was the opposite. Celtic did not put all their eggs in one basket with Eddie Howe. Yes, he was their number one target, but it wasn't Eddie Howe or bust, and they sat for another 6 weeks going, what are we doing now? They moved swiftly on to another candidate who became better suited. But even with their first candidate, Eddie Howe, you know, people, when Ange Postecoglou came in and Eddie Howe was still at a job, people were saying, oh, thank goodness we didn't get Eddie Howe. The number one candidate is doing not too badly now where he went. So it proves that he was a very good candidate, but it just didn't match up, and it worked out better for Postecoglou and for Celtic. That's why I think the fans have to have a bit of faith in the selection process with a Celtic board. I don't think they should be criticised. I think they did all they could to keep their manager, and they should be praised for their recruitment and managers in the past, and time will tell. I'm pretty confident they'll do their homework and they'll get this one right also.
Well, thank you to John. Ross is a Celtic fan up next in Drumchapel. Ross, how are you?
I'm all right, thanks. Yourselves?
Yes, all good, all good. How are you feeling about the Celtic managerial situation going forward? Do you have any names in mind of who you'd like to replace Ange Postecoglou?
Obviously, like, grateful to Ange for what he's done, but moving forward, I would like somebody like Enzo Maresca, maybe.
Mark, it's a name that's come up a few times. Of course, yeah. There's this City Football Group link. Enzo Maresca, I think, was interviewed last time. Celtic were looking for a manager. He was certainly on a list of names when Celtic were looking to bring in a manager, and then Ange Postecoglou ended up coming in. So he's certainly a name Celtic have been aware of in the past. Is that, can you see why Celtic fans are interested, because of that link with the City Football Group and how well it worked with bringing Ange Postecoglou in?
Well, of course, the City Football Group is kind of taking over world football at the minute. You know, they seem to have an outstanding model that just creates success everywhere they go. And whether that's coaches learning under the best, or teams from the Far East, you know, all producing successful winning teams and coaches. So Maresca is just the latest one to come from that. If you've worked under Pep Guardiola and you've been his right-hand man and seen the work it goes into what's turning out to be a phenomenal season for City, then I think the Celtic fans could be optimistic in thinking of he has to come and do a fraction of what Guardiola's been putting on to his players, then it should be a success. I mentioned the other night, look at Arteta. Arteta studied under Guardiola as well, and he went out on his own. Now, it took a wee bit of time to get going, but you can see how he took a massive club on and has really driven him into a challenging force in England. So Maresca, it seems an attractive option, and it seems to fit into the model that Celtic have worked in the past and the group that they're tapping into, and he could well just be the favourite of Rodgers doesn't take on the job.
Ross, Enzo Maresca has had a spell out as a manager in his own right. He went to Parma in the Italian second division. He was only in charge for 14 games. He only lasted 180 days before he was sacked. Does that worry you at all?
It doesn't worry me. What worries me is we take as long as we took to appoint Ange in the first place. I'd just rather get somebody with managerial experience in the door, and Maresca's got managerial experience, and he's got experience working under Pep.
I mean, he's got that experience of working under Pep, but in terms of, you know, proper managerial experience, Mark, he's not managed, you know, at the top level, or he's only been a first team manager for 14 games. Is that a concern?
Yes, in a way I would say so, because you look at Postecoglou's track record, you look at Eddie Howe, who was the preferred candidate before Postecoglou, and what they had done in the game, how they'd managed. Eddie Howe took a very different route, of course, from Ange Postecoglou. He'd started as a young coach and progressed all through the leagues and got success that way. Postecoglou had been a national team manager and managed teams for 20 odd years, so he had vast experience of dealing with dressing rooms on his own. Maresca, I don't think would be that way, and you just wonder then, he would obviously need a wraparound staff that he would probably bring with him, so a different model to what Postecoglou brought to Celtic. But I don't think Celtic took an age to appoint Ange Postecoglou at all. It was just the season had run its course. There was no point in them appointing someone the following week from sacking Neil Lennon.
The Eddie Howe circumstances, that was the one that dragged on rather than the appointment of Ange Postecoglou, because they kind of felt they had a manager in place that then turned around and circumstances changed.
That's what I was going to say. I don't think that was Celtic's fault at all. Eddie Howe, if anything, probably strung Celtic along a bit because of his backroom team and the decisions that had to be made. So, again, credit was given or should be given to Celtic board for swiftly moving on and getting that right. And that's why we're only 5 days from the cup final, a couple of days from the manager leaving. Time has to be taken because it has to be carefully considered.
Ross, I'm sure every single Celtic fan would have been really confident going into next season under Ange Postecoglou. The fact that he's gone, has that changed your confidence levels at all and what Celtic can achieve next season?
Possibly if we get in a manager that takes a wee bit of time to settle into the club and his style of football, obviously, and his style took to us straight away. I want somebody with a similar type of style to Postecoglou. I would have liked Postecoglou to stay for maybe one last Champions League push, see how far we could have got, but that's just the way football goes, really.
Well, thank you to Ross. Still time for you to get involved as well. Give us a call on 0141 951 1025.
0141 951 1025. This This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson here with me, Andrew McLean, in the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 01419511025 if you want to get involved. And if you've been listening to Clyde One today, you may well be sick of Mark Wilson because
be him for a treat.
He was trying his hand at breakfast radio this morning as well with Gordon DL. How was that?
I was like Alan Partridge. Yeah, I was. No, I loved it, mate. I was brilliant. Very different for this. Grant, if you've ever seen, we're used to the big floodlights in here, bright as anything. Grant, that must be because it's early in the morning. Has it like some sort of nightclub?
Hey, maybe it just didn't want to see your face.
That must be it. Dimmed right down, you know, eerie atmosphere, but it was great. Great fun.
Yeah, let's have a listen to a clip actually, because I'm told that you were you're putting your CV forward for the Celtic job. Let's take a listen.
Qualifications, got 7 standard grades and half an open university degree. Just a half of one. That's going to count for something.
I'll put that in. Right, experience.
Experience, oh, this is where it gets good. Ex-Dundee United, ex-Celtic legend, ex-Dumbarton.
Am I putting legend in there?
Yeah, in brackets, oh, yeah. Right, yeah, inverted common.
Relegation with Bristol City. No, you forgot that.
I forgot that. That wasn't in the glory years. Miss that one out, Grant.
I don't really know football very well, but should I be putting relegation in?
No. Right. That's often frowned upon. You can go for a new job.
I tell you what, I'm glad they didn't ask Gordon DL for his experience, his life experience, because I don't think anyone needed that while they were eating their breakfast in the morning.
No, I don't think that CV sounds as good as I thought it did in my head. So
you're not, you don't think you're in the running for the Celtic job?
Just fall below the Celtic job. If there's any other clubs out there, you know, willing to take on a relegation expert, then I'm your man.
We've actually got Martin, who's a Celtic fan, on the line. First of all, Martin, would you take Mark Wilson as your new Celtic manager?
Definitely.
Quality
player.
I think we'll need Martin, to clear Martin's line up there, because we can't hear him that perfect. Well. But he said, I'm not sure he's in the right state of mind. I thought he said quality player, did he?
Yep, 100%. Thanks, Martin.
Right, we'll clear that line up. But I think he was coming on with a suggestion on the managerial front, but we will get to that in a second. But yeah, he was saying he would take you as the...
Well, that's music to my ears. Now, if only that can filter up to Dermot Desmond and Peter Lawwell, then that breakfast show was worth coming getting up at 5 a.m. for.
Right, Martin, if it's not going to be Mark Wilson, have you got any suggestions of who you'd like to see as the next Celtic manager?
I've actually thought of Kevin Muscat, the former Rangers player. He's playing in the, he's managing in the J League at the moment. I think he was with the team that Ange was with, and plays the same sort of attack football. So I think he might be a good fit.
Yeah, I was waiting for the suggestion to come up on the phones, Mark, because Kevin Muscat's had an interesting managerial career where after Ange Postecoglou left Melbourne Victory, Kevin Muscat went straight in, ended up sort of building on the progress that Ange Postecoglou had made, won a couple of league titles with them. When Ange Postecoglou left Yokohama F. Marinos, Kevin Muscat came in. He's there now. He's won a league title with them as well. So I was expecting there would be a sort of natural shout for Kevin Muscat maybe going in and continuing the work that Ange Postecoglou had done again for a third time.
Of course, you can see the parallels. If you thought there'd be some baggage with Brendan Rodgers, then double that for Kevin Muscat. Now, I know he wasn't a Rangers player for long, but some Celtic fans just wouldn't take that. However, if you're talking purely in the coaching side, then it's definitely not the worst shout I've ever heard. You're right, he's mirrored what Ange Postecoglou has done, and you can only class that as success. You know, Postecoglou's a hard act to follow wherever he's been, but Muscat is the one that's had to pick up the pieces of the fans being devastated that he's left and continue the success, and he's done that. I'd find it a bit far flung to see him standing on the touchline at Celtic Park, but coaching experience and what he's done, take nothing away from him.
Does that not make a difference to you, Martin? Are you quite happy to overlook the fact that he was at Rangers? I know it was just a short spell.
It wouldn't bother me so long as he produced the goods, you know. And he obviously wants to bet himself. He's a young man. Do you know what I mean? So he's, I think it'd be an ideal manager.
Well, Martin's open-minded, and I quite like that. you know, I don't think there's enough supporters like that. However, there are a large percentage who aren't, who hold things like that very dearly, very close to them, can't see past it. And that would, I guess, make it difficult if it was to be Muscat. That would make it difficult in his opening weeks and months as a Celtic manager. Any poor result wouldn't be labelled the same way as Ange Postecoglou's three poor results when he lost three times early on. It would be used a stick to beat him with. So I guess the Celtic board would be weighing up all these contenders. I've no doubt they would probably have looked at Muscat and what he's done as a successor to Postecoglou. But again, I just think it would be one from real left field, that with some of the names on the list who have been mentioned, if they pluck Muscat, I don't know how the Celtic fans would like it. Tell you what, this show would be lively the day of the appointment. I mean, we could fill about 4 hours talking about it.
I think it would be lively in the touchline. If you've ever seen any clips of Kevin Muscat playing, he was he certainly liked the challenge, didn't he?
What? Robust. That's the word that's often used to describe hatchet men sometimes. But listen, a player with a great career, and you know, he was a hard as nails, no nonsense type player. Whether that's been taken over his mannerisms in the dressing room, I don't know. But one thing you do know, tactically astute, knows what he's doing and can build a side on the success that Postecoglou had.
Yeah, Martin, how big is that continuity after Ange Postecoglou? Of course, Celtic fans absolutely loved the style of play and what he was doing. Is your hope that you just see much of the same from whoever else comes in next?
Yeah, definitely. People always talk about the old firm, but if you look at on the playing side as well, guys like going back, you know, millenniums, Alfie Kohn, you know, and recently Kenny Miller, who's going on both sides of the divide, you know. But once they're in the club, the fans love them, you know. When Kenny played the Rangers, you know, he was despised by the Celtic crowd, but you know, once he put the jersey on, he was always forgiven by, I would say, 99% of people.
That's it, Mark. In football, fans are fickle. That's it. Mm. And if someone is doing well for your club and you're winning games, then their past is just kind of all forgotten, isn't it?
Sort of. I think there is some that break the mould in that who couldn't cross the divide. No way. Kenny's been here, there and everywhere, and of course he jumped over a couple of times and back to Rangers. And
you're telling me Bristol Rovers fans would never have you at the club?
I doubt it. I very much doubt that anyone in Bristol would want to see me back there, mate. So I think there's certain exceptions. In managerial terms, has it ever been done in Glasgow that an ex-Rangers player has managed Celtic and vice versa? Not to my recollection it hasn't, and I think in this one it'll remain that way.
Well, thank you to Martin. That is all we've got time for on the phones tonight. Just a bit of time to touch on that Viaplay Cup group stage draw. It will kick off the competition on the 15th of July, so it's not too far away. The clubs will find out soon what the actual fixtures are and what their first competitive game of the new season is, but certainly a few interesting ties in there. I like the look of Group F with Kilmarnock, and then you've got Raith Rovers and Dunfermline, which will be a good derby in there. You've got the likes of Motherwell taking on Queen's Park as well. St Mirren in a group, they've got a bit of travelling to do because it's not regionalised anymore. It used to be north and south, but St Mirren have Arbroath, Montrose, Forfar and Cowdenbeath, so they've got a bit of travelling to do for their away games, but they always throw up some interesting ties.
Well, they do. I mean, I pretty much started at Brechin City and the Viaplay Cup. Regionalised, we got Dundee United and St Johnstone. They took 6 and then 7 off us, and that was off to a bad start. So I can propel some people's seasons while kind of getting off to a bad start for others. Even Dundee United, Partick Thistle in the same group as well. It'll be fascinating to see, and it comes around in 5 weeks' time, pretty soon.
Yeah, because I think a lot of managers use it in different ways as well. Some maybe have a look at it as and use it as a bit of a extra pre-season almost in some of the games, and some of the fixtures can be kind to you, that you maybe kick off against, you know, a League 2 or a League 1 team and you can experiment, and then sometimes you're thrown right into the deep end against another Premiership side, or maybe you're a League 2 side and all of a sudden you're playing a big Premiership team.
Andrew, it's a fine line for particularly the Premiership managers who, when they get to the latter stages, have a serious chance of doing something special for their club. When it's so early on, how do you judge which players to play, who's up to match speed? It's a real tough one, but one thing we've learned is don't judge someone's season on their form at the start of the Viaplay Cup.
Yeah, we have those fixtures to look forward to, but they don't kick off until the 15th of July. So much to happen before that kicks off. Celtic still will continue their manager hunt. There'll be transfers across all the leagues as well, and we will be keeping you up to date on Clyde One Super Scoreboard from 6 until 7 every weeknight this summer. So make sure to join us, and thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you for your calls and tweets. Thank you to Mark Wilson in the studio as well. Up next, it's Callum Gallagher.